Hey, this is Justin with Technology Rocks, having way too much fun in our new studio. This is a sneak preview of an off-the-cuff conversation with our high-tech redneck himself. Mr. Graydon returns as guest host for our Season 2 sneak preview about artificial intelligence. Keep in mind, this is an off-the-cuff conversation. It is not planned or scheduled or formatted, but we were excited to try to get used to our new digs on the maiden voyage, crack the bottle on the side of the ship in our new studio rocks. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the sweet buttery sounds of Technology Rocks Season 2. See you in a bit.
Welcome to Technology Rocks.
Hey, this is Justin with Technology Rocks Season 2 in our studio. Yes, that's what I said. I am in the studio. I say we are in the studio with the high-tech redneck himself, Mr. Graydon. How are we today, Mr. Graydon?
Doing okay.
Mr. Graydon is doing okay today. How do you feel now that we're sitting in a room with a big boy mixer board and headphones and microphones? And
it feels kind of very 1984 with this color scheme.
Yeah, one of these days, sooner or later, you'll see the Van Halen wall that's actually right behind me. I don't know why I kind of went that direction or how I went that direction or came up with it or anything else. It just spoke to me. I was like, you know what? I've always wanted a black Van Halen wall, and that's what I have, is a black Van Halen wall.
Well, in fact, four of them and a ceiling.
So it's been a minute since the audience has heard from any of us. We kind of went to hiatus. Things have changed. Life's changed. People have changed things. It's just, you know, we wanted to make sure that when we came back swinging, and here we are, and it feels good to have something accomplished in this crazy building with all the construction that's been going on. So how have we been, Ian? What are we doing today?
Well, we're obviously experimenting, but it seems to be working, so we can bring people some good information, hopefully.
Yeah, so today we're going to talk about artificial intelligence. There's a lot out there about artificial intelligence. There's a lot of misconception, boogeyman effect, I would call it, on artificial intelligence. And to me, there's a lot of things, there's a lot of false information about it, and there's a lot of good information about it. And Ian, what do you find it that is in the friend or foe category? What is your take on AI?
AI is neither friend nor foe. It's the whether you have friends or foes that are using it that is going to affect your life. As a consumer, you have options available to you to use it for yourself. Generate pictures, generate stories, generate music, generate videos now. Just about anything you want. But the foe side of it are going to be the people that want to use it against you to extract your information, to infect your computer or whatever they want to do. And there's a lot of that going on. And it is self-feeding. It feeds off of itself. It regenerates itself. And it's obviously gets cleverer and cleverer. It's just going to get worse. And we're here to point out some of the things that you should do to make sure that you stay safe.
So what I found with AI is to Ian's point, is it's in everything. It's in your we installed a new Samsung high-end OLED television just the other day. As soon as you turn it on, you have to register for a Samsung account, meaning you're on an online platform of some sort. After that, it's saying you won't even let you adjust your picture settings, because now Samsung has a built-in AI engine that's using a occupancy sensor and a camera, not really a camera to watch you, but it's more of a light sensor, if you will. So it's detecting the surrounding light in the room or ambient light in the room that's reflecting off the screen, and then it's making minor color adjustments to give you a better picture via artificial intelligence. Now, for those that are spooked out by artificial intelligence, you actually can turn it off. However, when it's turned off, you can't get into your normal brightness and contrast settings that you could on the Samsung or Sony of yesteryear. So it is a very cut the world off type of thing, because it thinks that it knows how to adjust your TV better than you do for your own liking. So I think that's a very aggressive approach of artificial intelligence, how it's already coming into the electronic scope of things.
I think that there's Samsung specifically, they're obviously getting into that sphere of operation with all their products, refrigerators that have got screens on the front, which... How do you know that they're not spying on you all the time? I don't think that, personally, I mean, start right at the beginning, I don't think you should buy any device or, what's the word I'm thinking of? Appliance for your home that is connected to the internet.
Remember once upon a time, we were looking for a blender. It was back when Bed Bath & Beyond was open. And this was when the Ninja blenders were popular and whatnot. They made a big deal about being able to connect your blender to the internet. And I'm thinking, why in the hell would I want to connect my blender to the internet if it's not going to open my refrigerator and put the contents in my blender? Then that feature is somewhat useless. Just like having your dryer connected to the internet or your washer connected. Now that somewhat there was a client that was showing me that feature, and what it does is it pops up an on-screen display in your living room TV that tells you that your laundry's done. Isn't that what your buzzer does? I mean, do you really need that on artificial intelligence?
There's a lot of things that they think are good ideas, and you think, oh, yeah, that's a good idea, but you probably use it for about a week, and that'll be it, and you're over the novelty.
You're over it, yeah.
But, I mean, there are all sorts of reasons why you shouldn't connect things up. And it's about staying safe, I think. The internet is a great thing, but it's been monopolized. It now belongs to probably just about a handful of companies and they're all in it to make the money off of it by getting your information. Doesn't matter what kind of information it is. It's even down to the level you just talked about, TVs monitoring, even with semi-capable cameras and things, but they're just using your interactions with watching something to decide what to advertise to you.
Yep.
How long do you watch in a commercial? Do you mute it when it's going? They're just feeding all that information into these programs that are rewriting themselves that tell them what they should be trying to sell you all the time. And that's just... doesn't work for me. So.
And that's been going on for quite some time. I mean, that, you know... service providers that are tracking your data to market to you, that's been going on for decades now. But a lot of things that people are genuinely concerned about, I think it's, I hate to say this, but it's the horror movie effect. It's the Terminator effect. It's the sci-fi movie effect where the computer takes over your life and creates all this havoc and wrecks your car and all these things that you've seen as in horror movies. But now you have autonomous driving cars that are driven by artificial intelligence. You have, and those are fallible. AI is still fallible. And in my experience, limited experience with it, in fact, I think I screenshotted this to you It was several months ago, right around the time that Ozzy Osbourne died. When Ozzy Osbourne died, I looked up 3 days later and I said, well, you know, my friends are all using ChatGPT. I'm just going to play with it because I wanted to know a little bit more about it. It's being used against most retail centers as an authoritative position when people are shopping or they're trying to read on hardware or something like that. They'll bring ChatGPT up or product. There's someone that starts with a P. I'm not sure what it's called, but it uses Google instead of other.
I'm sorry, Dave. I can't tell you that.
Well, but that's the thing is, you know thy enemy. So I downloaded it on my phone just to play with it. I looked it up. I said, hey, is Ozzy Osbourne still alive? And this was after his funeral, and it's still reported that he was still alive, that he hadn't died yet, even though this is supposed to be the end-all, be-all autonomous robot that's supposed to be smarter than everything. It's still fallible. Even today, I was looking for a power supply for our mixer board friend that we're sitting in next to. I looked it up on ChatGPT, Tascam Mix Studio Plus. What is this power supply compatible? And it said, no, it uses a USB brick. It clearly does not use a USB brick. It is a prick or prick. It doesn't use a prick either. It uses a 12-volt, you know.
Shocking.
Yeah, 3-amp power supply. And I said, and I even asked it a question. I was like, well, then why does it say 12-volt DC on the back of it? And then ChatGPT said, oh, good catch. Yes, it does use a 12-volt DC, da, 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 da. So that's what I'm saying. But you people, there's a lot of people out there that are using this as a position of authority, and I think that's the dangerous part. I think that's the slippery slope of should you be making decisions and using this as a helpmeet when it is, in fact, fallible, very much so.
Yes, and people have owned up to using it when they've been found out using it because the articles or whatever that they write are patently untrue. And then you get the crowdsourcing people coming back saying, that's not true, that's not true. And it's like, oh, yeah, well, I used ChatGPT, but I didn't authenticate everything it told me. And there was an example recently of a reading list, a summer reading list for 2025 that somebody published. And it was in, I don't know, the New York Times, something like that. And there were books listed on there by famous authors. I can't remember the guy's name, I should, because I've read it, but whoever wrote The Martian. So there's a new book listed by him, and it gives a plot, and it gives everything else. That book does not exist. neither did 8 of the 10 other books. The AI had just made them up and made up plot lines and, you know, well, this is a reading list. Well, where can we get these books? Well, you can't because they don't exist because it made them up. But I've seen, I don't delve into it deeply. I tend to scrape the surface of Facebook reels and
I feel like you kind of want to just know where sausage is made, you know, and just it's that effect. I want to know how it works, what the science is behind it, if any.
Yeah,
and then that way I can educate, and then educate myself, educate my colleagues, educate my peers, educate people that are trying to use it against me, or using against them. And I think they're adding rules as they go. There was an instance about a month ago where people were seeking advice on suicide through ChatGPT. And they were younger individuals, and they successfully carried out the act on themselves. And that's what they found on their phone, was that information that was looked up on ChatGPT. There were other instances where people were self-diagnosing themselves, or sorry, that was redundant. They were diagnosing themselves medically by putting information in ChatGPT, and ChatGPT was saying, oh, then you have X, Y, and Z. You need to be doing this, this, and this. That's a doctor, you know? And then there are also other situations where people are using this for legal advice. They are seeking legal advice by putting circumstances and situations, and then they are writing threatening letters to folks to get their way in situations because they're basically posing themselves as general counsel, which, by the way, is highly illegal. You can't do that. I mean, you can do that, but if you get caught doing that, it's not only frowned upon, it's actually illegal. So it's one of those things where, you know, it's somewhat off the rails and out of control. Now, that they changed that about three, four weeks ago when these situations started coming to pass, and nobody knows who to sue. That's the thing, is nobody knows who's liable. There's nobody to say, hey, you're responsible for this, because it is in fact a computer. It is in fact a machine that was created by people, but now it's kind of doing its own thing as this hyperactive search engine. So in all technicality, no one's liable. And that's the thing, is no one's liable because it's a machine. And so now they have shut down. You can no longer look up medical advice on ChatGPT. You can no longer look up legal advice on ChatGPT. And if you try, it'll bring it up. This is against our rules and regulations and policies. This happened about 3.5 weeks ago. So somebody got in trouble over that, and somebody's looking for some liability over that. And rightly so, in a lot of those sensitive situations. But again, that's where we come into play. Is it your friend or is it your foe?
I think it's definitely the second of those, because I wouldn't trust anything that it told me.
Yeah.
As I said, I was scraping the surface. I saw a video, a lady proclaiming to be a nurse who said that she asked ChatGPT about certain diagnoses for a specific condition, and it came back and gave her a lot of information, including citing reports from something like the BMJ, British Medical Journal, whatever. And anyway, she said, well, I can't see those. How can I verify them? And it said, it's behind a paywall. So she immediately said, but I have access to that paywall because I'm a nurse and I'm subscribed to it and those reports don't exist. And it came back and said, you caught me. I lied.
Yep. That's the same. I'll show you this screenshot right now of what this looking for a power supply for. It deleted it.
Yeah.
That's the thing, is that it doesn't have a track record. But it says, you're right, good catch. It's the same type of verbiage was, it actually uses this and this and this. And it's like, well, wait a minute, you didn't know, but then people are actually using this information as a position of authority.
And they're using it to create content, which they are then passing off as their own, which obviously kind of upsets somebody we know, because you can do it for art, you can do it for music, can do it for all sorts of things.
Yeah, no, I mean, I know, Tony and I did a podcast about this last year and this was right at the birth stage of artificial intelligence and artwork. And I think he was in a roar, he had conflict. He was conflicted that at Comic Palooza, they were allowing, that year, they were now allowing AI-generated artwork to be sold and shown, which to me, you know, I felt that was somewhat of a robbery to people that have put in the time to become an artist. And have the talent that someone like Tony has that can, you know, draw anything in a phone book or whatever they want. I mean, you name it and the guy can draw it. But so can you now.
Yeah.
You know?
I've used it recently for a couple of things. I had a list of items and I wanted to make that list more interesting for people who was showing I've got this list of things I want you to see, but it's like, I don't want you to just read through a list of items that may bore the pants off you. So I said to ChatGPT, create this list as a Monty Python sketch, and it did, and it was amazing, and it was something to work with, but I didn't just copy and paste it as it came. It's like I changed it, and it was like at the end it said, would you like me to make this more silly? And it's like, you know, it's there. It's thinking about these things, and it's clever, and it can do that. But I could pass that off and say, I wrote this. But
true.
And clever people would know I wouldn't, because they'd be able to examine it and say, well, I know you didn't write this, but that's what's happening. People are writing or producing content that they're claiming, and it doesn't exist.
Yeah, I think Billy Corgan from the Smashing Pumpkins just recently was interviewed. He's got actually a really, really good YouTube channel where he's interviewing everybody from Stevie Nicks to newer artists like Youngblood and Ed Sheeran and people like that. And he does a really good job.
But how do you know it's the real him? It could be somebody generating a channel.
So it's not that quite good yet. It's not quite that good yet. You can tell, like, it's getting better. Like, you're starting to see it get better, and you see it in a lot of puppy videos and lion video, like puppy and babies and lions and cubs and stuff. And it's like something doesn't quite look quite right. It's kind of the Indiana Jones effect when they remember the last Indiana Jones movie they had, in the first 30 minutes of the
CGI
movie,
and
it was all artificial. It was used by AI and CGI, and it was the first time they had ever done it on screen. And what they did is they dumped a bunch of his footage over a, you know, career's worth of film into an AI computer and said, okay, build me this algorithm for his face. And that's honestly most of what AI is. AI, ladies and gentlemen, AI is nothing more than a glorified search engine, is what it is. And it's getting smarter, but in most cases, if you go back 20 years ago when you were looking, there were these travel websites. You had Hotwire and Travelocity and Hotline and all these people that could find hotel deals and rent cars and plane tickets. And then you told it where you were going, what you were doing, where you were wanting to stay, and it generated a whole list of places that would be accommodating to what your itinerary was. That's all, in a way, that's all ChatGPT is. You know, it is a broad search engine. Now, the people that are getting concerned about the artwork side of things, here's where it's fallible, because it could draw a perfect picture and say, you know what, make the hair blonde instead of brunette, and it won't give you the same picture with different hair color. It finds a completely different picture that mimics that. But with the right hair color. So you can't ever get the one picture that you want that's perfect, because again, it's still fallible and it hasn't learned it yet. But it doesn't mean it won't be able to.
I think that it will change if it's come up with a result that you like, but one thing is wrong with it. You could say, I want the same picture but with blonde hair, and it will do that.
It won't. I'll give a recent instance where ChatGPT was used. Like, I won't say against us, because that's a negative thing. It's just it was used in a situation that became increasingly interesting. So we were designing a room. It was a very odd shaped room. I mean, this room stressed you out when you walked into it, because it was like almost like a half baseball, trapezoidal baseball diamond shaped room. Very strange room. And this guy wanted some renderings done, and he freely looks up ChatGPT quite a bit, uses it all the time to look up things and price check things and all kinds of, and that's how I started seeing some of the patterns of that it was fallible, some of the patterns that it wasn't perfect. And so G had gone down the rabbit hole, and she goes, well, if he wants a rendering, you know, because she was playing with this rendering software, AutoCAD SketchUp thing. He was like, if he wants a rendering, let's just drop it into ChatGPT. So she did. Dropped it in there and said, okay, that's great. Now change the wall color to this color, and it wouldn't do it. It did, but it wasn't the same picture. It would screw it. It wouldn't stay consistent with the art. And that's the interest. Now, there may be better art platforms out there. That wouldn't be more of a Tony question that exists that will do a better job with those things. But as far as the ChatGPT stuff is concerned, it's somewhat limited. But again, that talks about the fallible part. Now, here's the double-edged sword with that. And here's where I'm going to debunk and throw you a curveball for a minute. So here's where I'm going to debunk ChatGPT for a second. Because I understand how technologies work. I understand how algorithms work. I understand how search engines work. What's stopping someone from going into ChatGPT and saying, hey, make my product... show me the keywords that's going to make my product come up when this question is looked up on ChatGPT. Show me the bywords I need to put in my website on a search engine for those keywords to come up when somebody uses ChatGPT to ask about acoustic panels or ask about speakers or ask about high-end headphones or ask about, show me the keywords that ChatGPT will pick up when looking for these things. There's nothing stopping you from doing that. Nothing. So my question is it really that smart, or is it an algorithm that is being manipulated? That's my question, because I think I'm leaning more of the algorithm that's being manipulated. However, eventually it's going to get smart enough. Right now it's in the infancy stage, infancy toddler stage, I would say. Eventually it's going to walk on its own, and who knows where we'll be at that point. And I think it's going to have that part's going to happen sooner than later. Yes? I mean, what do you think about what I just said?
Yeah, it's going to happen sooner rather than later, because everybody claims to be putting in guardrails to say to stop it doing whatever it's doing, but they're discovering on surveys or whatever they're doing that it's avoiding those guardrails and working outside of them. They can't stop it. It is the boogeyman in a way, because
like how he said, the boogeyman.
The boogeyman. Yeah, you can ask it anything you like and it will come back with an answer. Is that answer correct or true? How do you know? You could ask another AI. It might tell you, oh, yeah, that's true. But then they may be talking to each other in some other language.
So Time Magazine labeled, I think I sent you this article, Time Magazine...
Are we talking person of the year?
Yeah. Did you see that?
Yeah.
They labeled the creators of ChatGPT as person of the year, but yet they don't list the person or persons.
No.
They just listed...
The authors.
The authors of ChatGPT as person of the year, but yet they won't list the names. Why don't you think they listed the names, Ian?
Because they just asked ChatGPT, who should we make time of... the year of the person for Time 2025, and ChatGPT or whoever they are said, I think you ought to make the authors of AI.
Yeah. Yeah. No. And that's the thing is, or they won't list the names because of liability. And that's the other thing. Or maybe they don't know the names.
I mean, ChatGPT probably tell you it should be the recipient of the Nobel Peace Prize.
Sure. Well, but the other thing was, and I think Tony had mentioned this, and I don't remember the name of the guy. It was last year. It was one of the creators at Google, and he went on record and said, this is not a good thing. We did not do a good thing here. And that was it.
Who, you know? Sam Altman?
I think it was Sam Altman, yeah. But that's what I'm saying is just, but... But should we be afraid of it, or is it really the boogeyman, or should we be afraid of it?
Yeah, we should be.
Or concern. Afraid is afraid the right word, or should we be concerned?
We should be concerned, and I think ultimately afraid of what is going to happen because of it.
Like what?
Well, if I can segue into the Microsoft thing.
Go for it. Yeah, no, I mean, you know, this is open. This is no rules, no format. It is the first official episode of season two, which everybody will applaud. That was not an applaud. That was a heat-seeking missile attack, and I still haven't got used to the buttons on the big boy board. So,
well, Microsoft, along with all the other tech companies, are obviously into AI and wanting to use it for their own financial ends, probably, is the main goal. But so they killed off support for Windows 10, as they promised they were going to do some years ago. But they're kind of trying to frighten people and say, you need to buy a Windows 11 computer now because Windows 10 support doesn't exist. Well, it doesn't matter if it doesn't exist. If you're careful, if you're safe with whatever you're doing, it will work pretty well on that computer that you got it on. But anyway, what they've done with Windows 11 and Microsoft Edge and Office is to embed their version of AI called Copilot. And so these laptops that you see Best Buy or wherever advertising with Copilot Plus, they advertise them with such banal things that, like, oh, you can Copilot Plus that, and it's like, you know, where was the picture of us doing whatever dance whenever, and we want to recreate it. So, I mean, that's simple, silly stuff. But the way they've gone about it is they've embedded it. You can uninstall it, which I recommend, but they come out with all sorts of stuff, like making you, by default, save your stuff to the cloud. In their case, OneDrive. And on the face of it, okay, you're saving data, but where are you saving it to? Is it then being fed into their AI Copilot large language model engine that is then using your data to build it in itself? I just think it's they're just doing that to make things easier on themselves, but it doesn't.
Or profitable. They don't have to pay people. There was just a survey in early December that SHRM did, and where they interviewed 20,000. SHRM is an organization that represents human resources. They surveyed more than 20,000 U.S. workers to see the percentage of tasks are already automated across that several different job types. Most of these job types had to do with programming or where massive amounts of math and things were involved. The survey estimated that 15.1% of jobs held by U.S. workers, so roughly 23.2 million jobs, are at least 50% automated. Okay. And 7.8%, meaning 12 million, are at least 50% done by generative artificial intelligence. So only 6% of U.S. jobs, so 9.2 million, are still left vulnerable because they fit in those descriptions. So, I mean, that goes right along with what you were saying. They're using less programmers, less people that went to college and school that are trained for it. They're now using more computers because they don't need to pay people to do it. They just need somebody to type in what it wants to be done, and then it'll get you about 80% there.
Yes, but you still need human oversight of everything.
True. Well, yeah.
I mean, big companies are being caught out. Like Deloitte got caught out. Somebody they assigned to do something for the Australian government produced stuff from AI, and at the end of the day, it was wrong. And somebody in Australia's government noticed it and questioned it, and the upshot was that they found out that the original author used AI to generate this report, which was false. So they ended up having to refund money for the report that they had supposedly written.
Well, the other thing is that in that same expected survey, 57% of those interviewed at that particular time said they expect fewer jobs to be available because of artificial intelligence since then. So this was about 6 weeks ago. Since then, that number has changed to 78% that are now in fear of losing their job or thinking their job will no longer be available because of artificial intelligence. It's the same artificial intelligence that they're training and putting into place as well. So basically, they're training their replacement to do the job, and it reminds me a lot of the supermarket right now. Like if you go to the supermarket or Lowe's or Home Depot, there's one person that's watching all of these machines. Or you're checking out your own groceries, but there's still one person monitoring them. The problem is how efficient is that one person scenario when something goes wrong at a register, and then something goes wrong at the next register, and then something goes wrong at the next, and then the line starts backing up, then it backs up again, then it backs up again. And now it's like air traffic, you have an air traffic control problems because now you've got all these people with baskets and they've got nowhere to go. Nobody's telling them where to go because that person is now helping this other person. To me, so that's one chaotic thing by automating processes instead of having multiple people to help with those processes. So that's number one. Number two, this is where I classify AI in. This may be a little funny, but this is what it's like having a housekeeper. You have a housekeeper, they have a job, right? They come over, they clean your house, they change your sheets on the bed, they do the laundry, it's spick and span. Your house is completely taken care of and it's awesome, right? Then one day you come home and you see that same maid waxing your car, and you're like, why is she waxing my car in the garage? I didn't tell her to wash my car, and I didn't tell her to wax my car, but she's doing it anyway, and why did she do it? And then you find out after she does the job that you're like, okay, well, that's quite nice. She washed my car. That's nice. But then as you start looking at it, it only did half the job. She didn't do a really good job to washing your car, but she still did it. In my opinion, that's kind of where AI fits right now. It gets you a little bit of a way. You didn't ask it to do it, but it's trying to help you in a way, you know? It's trying to help you do these things, and you're not asking for that help. I get so frustrated with artificial, because it's in QuickBooks now. QuickBooks uses AI, SquarePay uses AI, all of these stupid things use AI now. And it keeps trying to, every time I'm typing something in, it keeps trying to build the sentence structure based on what I'm typing in. And it's totally wrong. It's totally false. I mean, even voice to texting will still make you sound like a drunken idiot because it's not perfect. It's still fallible. So to me, all of these things that are helping you end up being a hindrance. So I don't see it as this evil juggernaut. There's a lot of these videos out there that it's like, it's the new world order, or it's the way the government is going to control everybody. Well, first of all, you're giving the government way too much credit, okay? Second of all, I mean, when people are still mailing child support checks in, they have no clue what the heck AI is going to do. So let's not get that twisted. So, but there's a lot of these polished articles and information about what AI does and what it can do. And that's where I think the boogeyman effect takes place. And it's kind of like this thing that you had given me an example just the other day where it was something weird Alexa did, right? You had found something that was using a lot of data in your house.
The Echo Show device that was basically sucking data from my internet service provider, and I don't normally reach anywhere near their cap, but they decided to tell me halfway through the month that if I carried on the way I was going, I would have used 3 times what my data cap was, and that I would have to pay the extra so much per gigabyte and whatever. It took a little bit of narrowing down, but it turns out that one device was, for some reason, just pulling data.
But didn't it do something on its own that was a little weird, that it said, oh, would you like us to do this, this, and that?
It did. At some point, it came up, and I questioned, having researched what is using this data, and I narrowed it down to the one device. And then I thought, well, let's do the usual IT trick. Being a certified IT professional, it's like, okay, unplug it, count to 15, plug it back in, reboot. And I did that, but that didn't stop it. And I actually had to take it off of my account and remove it from my account completely and then reinstall it from scratch. And I asked Alexa, why was this device using all this information? And it came back and said that it couldn't answer the question as to why it was using it, but it said, I can monitor it for you, and I can tell you if this device uses more than so many megabytes a day. And I thought, okay, well, I've got Eero, which is an Amazon product, and it's tied to my Amazon account and these Amazon devices. I thought, okay. So I said, okay. So that ran on a scheduled basis, but it turned out when I checked that it just like looked to see, and it said, I'm sorry, I can't monitor that. So it didn't do that, but it asked me if it wanted me to do it. It's like, okay, let's do that. But in the end of the day, it couldn't do it. But it's, I don't know, I've got Amazon Plus now. No, Alexa Plus or something. And it's not as user-friendly as some of these things. They're way behind on doing stuff. Like, I ask it questions, and 9 times out of 10, it will come back and say, I understand you're frustrated with technology. Can we approach this in a different way? And it's like, yeah, tell me what is going on. And it's like, I understand why you're frustrated. And it's like, okay, never mind.
Ian, is Alexa AI?
Yes.
Okay.
And Alexa Plus is even, you know, it's a next level model. Like ChatGPT just announced a new model.
Is Hey Google AI? Or Google?
Well, Google is Google Gemini, and they probably integrated everything into that. So you could probably say, hey, Google, do this for me, and it'll go away and use whatever AI tool is relevant.
So here's where I think AI crosses the line. And I think you touched on this a few minutes ago when you had said you had played with it with pictures and songs and art. You know, it's making people that are incredibly talented, like artists, like Tony, you know, that has spent years mastering his craft and still practicing his craft.
Yeah.
And, but I think it's also crossing the line in Hollywood. It's crossing a line with the way information is reported, the way articles are written. A lot of these articles, and again, and here's, and he, and this is going into segue into episode 2, where it talk when you're going to cover, are you safe? And that seems to be during this particular political climate, during this particular technology climate, that a lot of folks don't understand, the natural reaction is to be afraid of it. Going into that, you know, I had sent an article to you just, I think, yesterday about Disney is now going to war with AI. You know, they're going to, but now they're also, not only are they going to war with AI, they're also embracing AI. They're going to start using.
They've just put $1 billion into ChatGPT.
Right.
And on that level, through Sora, which they own now, it's like, so they're licensing Disney characters And as you pointed out, they've told, was it YouTube, that any videos that are currently there?
They've cracked down on YouTube and Facebook and everywhere that now fan-made videos involving Star Wars that are AI generated that are of movie quality. And I don't know now, and that's the slippery slope, is what classifies as movie quality. Well, are now being told to cease and desist and being pulled off the internet.
Yeah, because they are going to license those characters.
Right. Well, there's a good friend of mine. He's an incredible musician. I mean, God, he's incredible. He and I talk every day about various subjects, and he had said on one of those things, he said, Justin, how do you know what to believe anymore? Like, you know, you've got all of these articles that, you know, people aren't, journalists aren't even writing them anymore. And again, Ian, it's believable. It looks polished. It's not like we're reading a rag at the end of the shopping aisle of National Enquirer when it says an alien ate my cow or something, you know, or the Bigfoot or whatever. It's all of this stuff it's polished. It looks real, you know. So, but now that we're getting into the AI world and we know that AI can now be manipulated by smarter people to where it basically is helping you and guiding you. Again, it goes back to that key word, helping you make your own decisions based on it being manipulated by an algorithm that it created. So it's this wicked little spin cycle where even ChatGPT can be manipulated because, again, it's fallible. It's not perfect.
But would you
How do you know what's real?
Well, how do you know? I mean, I sent you a couple of things last week that it was basically some, I don't know, call them lyrics. It was basically some old poetry that I'd written a long time ago that I just felt I wanted to put to music, and I heard about an AI website. I've forgotten what it's called now. You reminded me the name of it, but I just copied my words.
Suno.
Suno
is
right.
What it's called, yeah.
So I think Suno's set up for people to create stuff and to just give it an idea, but I wanted to put specific words to music, and you're a musician. And I sent you those things, and you said, well, they're pretty good. I mean,
so here's what I'll say about it. It was a beautifully written song. It when you listen to it, and then we can actually put clips of this in the show, and that way people can kind of be the judge of it. You see, as a musician, you see Suno being advertised all the time. You do. You see it being advertised all the time. You see, take your music to the next level, Suno. You know, you see the whole advertisement for it. And I listened to it, and I was like, man, this isn't, it's not bad. Now, you can tell that it's not perfect, but what I'm curious of is if it's not perfect because it's AI, or it's not perfect because it's AI trying to mimic imperfection of an actual artist. So that's, I mean, again, we get in this really wicked spin cycle in that thought process.
I mean, I didn't ask for anything other than a specific genre. I said, here's my words. I want a specific genre. And within 30 seconds, I had four versions that I could...
Yep.
Listen to two of them, or two of them I couldn't listen to except maybe 30 seconds. And they sounded like they could have been even better than the other two, but I would have had to subscribe to listen to them. And
it was like a Tom Petty Beatles type of sound, you know?
I can't even remember what I put in to get it, but it's like, well, I listened to the two versions of the first one I put in, and I thought, well, I like that one best, and that's the one I kept. Then I thought, okay, let's try one or two of the other ones I dredged up from dim and distant computer memory and put them in. And I was seriously impressed. You give it,
I mean, I'm a musician and a recording artist and a songwriter and all of those things.
And you talk about songs having hooks and bridges and those sort of things, and it generated those. So it repeated...
Within 30 seconds,
It repeated some parts of the song as a chorus, which wasn't my intention because it wasn't written as a song in the first instance, but it was like the way it did it. And then the way it added pauses and stuff, it was just like...
Well, and see, and does that tie into the friend or foe part? Is it a friend or a foe? Is it,
from my
perspective, a threat?
On that one exercise, if you like, it did what I wanted it to do, and it produced something that I've got as a memory of that particular thing I wrote, which is better than just reading the thing I wrote.
To me, it's the guitar hero in comparison to a real musician. You know, it's something where everybody can play the game and be creative. Now, the difference is... In that comparison is you weren't asking it to write you a song about X, Y, and Z. No, you had a set of lyrics that you dropped into this thing and said, hey,
put this to music.
Write me a song, you know, put this to music. So that's a little bit different, you know, because I've heard AI generated things. I've heard AI generated songs where you're just saying, hey, write me a song in the cadence of Led Zeppelin, Kashmir, about dog treats, you know, and it'll do it.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't mean it's going to be a good song or even a usable song, but it still can do that, you know. And I think the more people like that feed it,
and the
problem, better it's going to get.
Well,
to your point,
the problem is that most of what you see generated is generated from the level of the lowest human intelligence. And it's like all these videos that come up, blind react to this AI song, and it's like a ripoff of a famous song, but then it's full of innuendo and corn, and like people are like, oh, you know, it's like, and it's just for people generating crap to generate content to make money off of Facebook or YouTube. And so, yeah, it's clever to that extent. But what's driving it? All these bottom feeders that are putting in the, you know, the most innuendo-riddled shit, to excuse my French, to... What is that button supposed to do?
I don't know. I don't think it did anything. Oh, there it is.
Yeah.
No, but I kept expecting something to happen. But no, you may say the word again, Ian. There we go. No, I think it's so. Here's the thing. I think it's in its infancy stage. I think it needs to be watched at arm's length. I think it 100% needs to be monitored around children, as everything does. To me, Facebook and social media are scary. To have kids involved in those types of things anyway. But I think eventually, I think it's going to have to get bad before it's regulated. Something's going to happen that's weird before it becomes heavily regulated.
I think that's already happening. I think it's...
No, me too.
I think it's got to the point that governments around the world need to get on top of this. There needs to be some kind of UN-type unilateral approach to how AI is controlled and regulated around the world, because lots of different countries have got lots of different agendas. Some countries probably won't abide by those rules if they're ever put in place, but they will use it to their advantage because it's doing stuff that they thought they'd never be able to do, especially given the weak nature of online connected systems and everything else.
Well, that's going to go into our episode 2, which we're running short on time here. So on the episode 2, that'll be next week. It'll be Are You Safe? So Ian and I are going to jump in. Maybe we can get Colby over here too. He works in the security realm of things, on actual security things, and cover the Are You Safe category, and Ian's got some pretty cool ghost stories with that and how to arm yourself and really protect yourself on those things. Because here's the thing, ladies and gentlemen. Last year, AT&T's whole network across the country went down. Okay, Comcast, Xfinity, a month and a half ago, Xfinity's whole network crashed. Worldwide. Xfinity, everybody lost internet that had Xfinity. So you have a few weeks before that, you could not log into your Wells Fargo bank account if you had an online banking. Chase Bank got hit with the same thing. So when I start seeing these types of things, and no, I'm not a tinfoil hat guy. I'm just a guy that understands technology probably too well in some of these cases to where it does keep me up at night. But in a lot of these situations, when I see behaviors happen like that, where you see infrastructure crash, where you see banking systems crash, where you see technology being put out there before it's regulated, you're asking for trouble. And that's what I see with this, that something is testing the borders and boundaries of those infrastructures, whether it be artificial intelligence, whether it be a hacker, whether it be just a guy that spilled his coffee on the damn server. I don't know, but that's the thing, is when you start seeing these giant companies that are supposed to be some of the largest technology companies in the world, and they're having cracks in their infrastructure, something is testing those borders. Something is testing that boundary.
But what you're getting is companies like even Xfinity and AT&T and whatever, they're all piling on the back of other bigger companies like Cloudflare, which is, you know, a big, big player in the internet world. But nobody from a customer, residential customer like you and me, uses Cloudflare. That's what the big companies use. But they went down, and that just about takes the whole internet down. And
right,
that's when you get, when it gets scary. There was a part of the cause of that was, not the cause of it, but causation effect. There's a smart bed. We were talking about smart appliances. There was a smart bed that regulates temperature and all those sort of things.
Does it have one that has an eject button? Because I probably know.
No, it didn't have an eject button. But it was like, you know, it's the middle of the night. This Cloudflare did some kind of update, which then caused it to stop working. And so all the companies that use it, like whatever this, I can't remember the name of the smart bed company, but all their beds stopped responding. And so they started heating up and cooling down and not responding. And you have to look it up. It was the thing that made everybody aware that Cloudflare was down, because their beds were reacting in strange ways.
Smart beds. Smart beds misbehave. Yeah, no, I just, to me, I don't know. I mean, I think that the amount of connection our devices have is troubling. The amount of helpful things that are happening with our technology is also troubling. Again, going back to the maid thing that washes and waxes your car and does a piss poor job of it that you didn't ask for. And that's the thing. I think that's where we're headed. That's where we're at now with technology. Your phone listens to you, your TVs listen to you, your streaming services listen to you, and they're all selling your information to, for whatever reason, why, don't know, so they can market things and push things towards you. You have a house full of Amazon. Clearly, it doesn't scare you. Should people be scared of that, and should people be concerned of that? Or are you heading into a world where you're going to move away from Amazon?
Yeah, it depends. It does what I want it to do to a degree.
And do you care if it sees those things or knows those things?
Well,
like, I don't.
What can it see or know in my house?
Well, exactly.
There's me and three cats. It's like, meow.
I mean, yeah. Yeah, that's where I'm at. So that's where we're at. You know, it's just, it's AI. Oh, what do you got? You're pointing at me. What is it?
Oh, I was going to say, it wasn't Cloudflare outage. It was an AWS outage. And AWS is Amazon's web service, which is
Amazon was down. That's the other one. That's the other one I was trying. And that happened, what, a couple of weeks ago?
Yeah, this was October, but they had a DNS resolution problem affecting cloud hosting, resulting in outages that impacted thousands of web-based products. And it affected these specific beds from a company called 8Sleep to malfunction. They're $2,500 to $3,300 beds, smart beds, that can regulate temperatures between 55 and 110 Fahrenheit through an app. But because everything's down, it can't talk to the app. Or
so it got stuck?
So it's got this thing that you actually pay a subscription for. It's another $200 for an annual subscription called Autopilot.
Okay.
So now
you got to pay to subscribe to use your damn bed.
So people who've paid for this Autopilot thing, this system goes down and it says, I woke up hot in the middle of the night and kept double tapping like a maniac to adjust the temperature.
I mean, who in the thought that was a great idea? I'm going to hook my bed to a phone.
And somebody on X said, it would be great if my bed wasn't stuck in an inclined position.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, it's at the minute, it's silly things like this that, to me, make it a faux.
Yeah.
So
a faux, but not a villain.
Yeah, and it's not really the artificial intelligence that's a faux. It's a service that's gone down, but...
So Ian and I, we're gonna cover a lot into this. I mean, I feel like AI, he and I, when we first discussed jumping into this topic, it couldn't be done in one show. It's just too big of a topic to talk about. If you as a listener has a question or concern about artificial intelligence, if you want to know a little bit more about a specific thing into that, let us know. Message us, call us, figure it out. You know the store number, email us, whatever, that you guys have been really good about emailing and calling, and we've had calls all over the country. We're season two. We have people that are tech junkies that were listening to this. In fact, I had a vendor friend of mine said, hey, when's season two coming out? I need my fix. I've got to drive to Austin. So it was one of those projects that it was just kind of a fun starting into it. And now we have a big boy circuit board and big boy microphones, and it's come a long way since putting an iPhone on the counter and hitting record. So it's been a long time getting here, and now we're here, and it's quite interesting. So it's it's just one step further what we were trying to do, and we wanted to do good quality content for you. But artificial intelligence, a big deal. It's in everybody's life. People use it every day. When people use it every day, they're feeding it every day. It's getting smarter every day because of the rate it's eating. It's being fed and it's eating all the time because people use it all the time, and it's not perfect. I have it used against me every day and says, well, ChatGPT says, well, JGPT says you're wrong because I've done it for 20 plus years. So, and that's the thing. So, Ian's going to take us into a much scarier story about things that you do need to worry about in the next guy. I feel like we're kind of leaving the listeners of you, what's on your dinner plate may kill you. Stay tuned at 6 p.m. to figure out if you have that on your plate. I feel like we're moving. We're kind of leaving them hanging.
Yeah, cliffhanger, edge of your seat stuff. That's what we need.
It's like, no, stay tuned for we just recorded 45 minutes of mindless crap for you to listen to, so you'll listen to the next one because that was the important one.
And then there'll be another cliffhanger. And maybe even the fart gun.
And the fart gun. So we're going to have a lot of special guests this season. Unfortunately, Tony is not going to be with us this time around. He's doing his art thing, and best of luck to him, all that jazz. And if he wants to make a cameo, he's always more than welcome to do so. This is always his show, always his home, and he's always fun to have in the room. But we're going to have a lot of guest speakers. I've got Byron Wallace that's going to come in. Byron, I want to hear Byron and Ian on the same podcast. I think that would be amazing. Byron is actually an IT professor at a college. Yeah, he's a professor. So I want to hear him and the high-tech redneck, because Ian is an IT... you owned an IT company, correct?
No.
Are you? He's like, no, don't start rumors on that.
Just subcontracted.
Yeah, so he was an IT director, and so a director and a professor, and the bumbling idiot sitting across from them that just knows a lot of useless information. So yeah, no, we got a lot of fun people that want to come on board and kind of fill some spots and figure out till we can find a flow in season two. I'm just happy that we finally have a season two cast done in the can. I just got to add, Ian's got a pirate theme song that we're going to add in here too. So you'll be able to listen to some of his AI music, but that's it. That's a cast officially season two in the can and done. Holy, I hit the right button this time, and I have to hit another one. What's this one do? Oh, yeah, no, that's a good one to take us out. All right, this is Justin with Technology Rocks with Ian, the high-tech redneck, and we'll see you in a bit.